Okay, wait. So I have a question. Are we doing introductions and then song? Song, then introduction?
Yeah, thank you. We need to get clear on this because, Castro, you go into your freestyle. We don't really know where
to
jump
don't know
in.
What to do.
And then you say your name, and then we really throw it off.
But I'm just like, I'm Morgan, and we're a podcast. Bye.
Aren't those the best?
They're fun.
Sometimes the multiple stanzas kind of throws us off the bat.
You wouldn't call it the best moment. You would just call them fun.
Yes.
You nailed it.
We all agree they're fun.
All right, we can do the intros and then do the song. Give me time to prepare.
Wait, say it again.
Intros, then the song.
Then the song.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's
so. You'll start your song, after I say, "And we're a podcast that has no name."
That is exactly when I'll start it.
Okay, all right. I'm on board.
This is gonna be awesome. I'm so looking.
So I start, right?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unless we want to flip it.
Okay.
No.
We got to play it together. Unless we want to flip the opposite.
Finally got it down. Oh, shit.
All right. I'm Afro.
I'm Ambush.
Do I need to count? Should I count or something? I didn't know if he was ready.
No. You know what's so funny? The pause was long enough for the Castro. I was like, here's the Castro pause. And then you just came right back in. That's going to be the same thing for me.
No,
oh, God.
There is no Castro pause.
Oh, there definitely is. And this isn't
Dude,
an
it's
argument.
It's on every call. It's on every call.
Like, do
every
you listen
one.
To this?
Do you listen to our little podcast?
Or whatever.
Do
you even try?
Podcast, whatever. You know, exactly when it would come in if it was in song. Here we go.
Okay.
No. You know what?
Yeah, I'm back.
Count it down, Afro.
Okay.
It's taking
7 minutes.
Five.
God. Fuck.
Three.
Damn it.
Two. I'm Afro.
Damn it. I don't have to say I'm Castro.
Why would you do that?
I was about to say I was Castro.
How do you ever have to say that?
I never have to say that. My line's the same every single time. Jesus.
It is.
I'm frazzled. That's what I am.
I'm frazzled.
It was a good count. It was a good count. It felt like network TV. I'm sorry. Like,
okay.
Silence for the two and the one.
Right.
It was done right.
$1,000. That's coming out of your check.
Let's try one more time.
Right.
And
you got
take
it.
Two.
Right.
I'm Afro.
I'm Ambush.
Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam.
No.
Bam, bam,
bam. No, Castro. No. No. No.
Is this intro?
Podcast.
Bam, bam, bam.
No.
Is it a disco
remix?
Just say your name. I feel like we all put our hands in the huddle and we were like, all right.
You did.
Break.
He did.
And then Castro ran his own play.
He ran an audible. What's happening?
Oh, my.
full Boogie Nights disco. What?
I'm Castro.
You are.
No, don't try that, man.
This isn't real. This isn't real. I'm about to say.
In case anyone was wondering.
I'm Castro.
Did you say, how dare you?
Yeah.
Pick it up, Mark. I'm Castro.
How dare you?
No.
There is no picking
it up. No, we have started this over. People. Oh, my gosh.
Mark,
oh, my
you
God.
Guys know who we are, right?
Let's go.
No, I did not say that. She doesn't sound like that either.
Man, I've never sounded so soft-spoken before.
Did you hear him?
Why is Castro talking from a tomb? Why are you so far away from the phone?
Yeah, you do sound lower than usual, even though I can tell
you're
screaming.
You're yelling,
like,
and yeah, exactly. You're screaming, and we still can't hear you.
I'm Morg.
I'm done.
I'm running with that one. That's the best one.
This is the end. All right, well, cool.
Just take our name from another episode. Oh, no.
And we are a podcast that has no name. Go.
Yeah, we are
a podcast that has no name. I'm Morg.
God damn it.
I don't even understand what's happening.
White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, four dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
As part of our epic rewatch, we are in season 2, episode 2. The Nightlands. Oh, goodness.
Thanks, Ambush.
All right, so I'm going to... You guys are very welcome. Very welcome. So I'm going to bat first. Excuse me. Sorry. So,
wow.
Episode opens up, and it was funny because I'm seeing Arya just sit there at the stream, and I'm like, what's so special about this moment? Why are we getting this close-up of her watching water? That's so weird. And I didn't realize she was peeing until she stood up. I was like, okay, but she's got to pee away from everyone because she's not a real
she
boy.
You. She tricked you. Yeah. She's Ari.
Yeah. Ari, she tricked me.
Okay.
So I totally forgot that this is where she meets my guy, Jaquen. What's their squad called again?
A man.
Faceless men? Faceless men.
A man.
A man has many squads.
A man has many squads. A man has no faces. So I was like, oh, snap. Yeah, okay. My guy. Now I'm thinking, how did he end up here? I need to know. I don't know if we ever find this out later, but how did he end up on the way to the wall? You know, completely just blew my mind. One of the prisoners starts acting all crazy. So they want something to drink. They prefer some beer. One of them starts acting all crazy, talking about he's going to, give the little boy a little something that he wouldn't normally want as a little boy from some crazy prisoner person. It was a bit vulgar, but, you know, this is Game of Thrones. This is what they do. This is what happens. But, you know, out of nowhere, she's not really scared. She has a little stick on her. She starts poking at homeboy. And Jocelyn is like, I think he said something to the effect of she's too foolish to be scared or she's too courageous to be something. But that early interaction to me was just very interesting. I totally forgot where he came in the storyline completely. And then right after that, the gold cloaks arrive from King's Landing.
Yeah, the gold cloaks arrive from King's Landing, and Arya is like, fuck, man. They come after me. They know. So she immediately is like, I'm just going to hide over here. And also, like, in the last scene, that scene ends with, like, her and Gendry connecting. So she's, like, with Gendry and, like, looking at him like, I'm just going to hide right here. Don't pay any attention to me. And Yorin is like not having it with the gold cloaks. He's like, fuck out of here. First of all, people think too much about their throats and not their balls. And look, I got a knife at your balls. So that's number one. Number two, I don't care what your business is here. You're not going to get it. And I think Yorin is also operating from hiding Arya as well.
True.
Yeah, did anybody peep the second gold cloak dude on the horse? And he had, like, duck lips for the entire scene. His lips were just poked out. Like,
I did not
say anything
at all. I did not notice.
But he had crazy duck lips the whole time. Like, So, yeah, anyway, the gold cloak dude is like, look, looking for a dude named Gendry. He carries a bull's head helmet and, you know, just so y'all know, we killed all the other bastards back home. He's the last one left. So, and we didn't see all that. Right. And so Arya's like, nigga, they looking for you? Like, she's looking at him like he crazy. And the Gold Cloak dude is basically just like, you know, we'll be back. We're going to have more men when we come back. And he's like on some threats pimp shit, you know?
Yeah.
And that scene ends with Arya and Gendry just standing there, like both of them shook. Like, I thought they was coming for me, but they actually coming for you. And Gendry's like, the fuck they want with me? So they both just standing there shook.
Oh, don't forget to mention that Gendry also put two and three together. Lord Aaron came looking for him, and then he died.
Well, no, that's another scene later.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Not to go too far
Not
ahead.
To jump ahead. Not to do anything like that.
But to jump ahead. It wouldn't be an episode without one or five, right? There we go.
Exactly. One or five. All acceptable.
So, yeah, then we pop over to King's Landing. And Varys and Shay are in the room chilling.
Drunk.
They are having their Gossip Girl moment. They are just tickled with each other's presence. And here comes Tyrion, for sure. He opens the door and immediately is a sourpuss. Like, well, who the fuck, why the fuck, how the fuck? Why are you here? How did you get here? Get the fuck out. Go away. What is happening?
Go away. It kind of reminded me, if I could, you know, interject a little personal story. So I was at this girl's crib.
Oh,
and her boyfriend came home. Oh, no, Castro.
Yes.
Now, mind you were in your 20s, mind you. 20s, right?
Jerry.
Mind you, we done some, you know, preliminary activities where my belt was unbuckled.
No.
And when he came in, ew. I just kind of sat over like I was just there company and put my shirt over my buckle. My pants are totally unbuckled. You know, make whatever inferences you have to make. And he came in, he had this look on his face like any man that came home and, what are you doing in my house? But he knew me. And so I stayed and finished smoking.
Slow down. Wait.
Knew you, a dirty-ass nigga, Castro.
Hold on. Qualifying question. Wait a minute. Qualifying question, Castro.
Yeah.
He knew you or you knew each other?
We knew each other.
You. Okay. Dirty motherfucker.
Oh, wait. One more question. Because you said he came home. So was this their place together or his place?
No, their place together.
Ah,
you dirty motherfucker.
I've actually been in all of their places together. So,
all right. All right, let's not make this worse. Finish the story. Bring us home.
Well, the story is Tyrion's old face was similar to this young man's old face. You know.
That's not the okay.
That's not a parallel.
Why did you do that? That's the punchline.
That's not the same thing. That's the same thing. We weren't like Kikin. We were kind of shook and scared because he wasn't supposed to be home there.
First of all, Varys is a eunuch. I don't know if you remember that part. So that is definitely not what was going on in Tyrion's face and mind.
Sorry, excuse me. That was okay.
No, oh my god. No, my god.
Castro, you are the best. Like, remind me of this time I had just finished knocking down his shorty, right? And her man came home.
I said I did not
know that was like Tyrion's face.
No, yeah, Castro, right? we know you didn't say that.
Preliminary event.
We know what you said.
I was exaggerating, Castro.
Thank you. You're good at
dramatization, if you will.
Yeah. Make it hot.
Drunk history, if you will.
Yes. Oh God.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
Thank
back
you.
To what we All were right. here for.
So Tyrion walks in and he's real pissed. because he knows who Varys is, much like I'm sure the friend knew who Castro is.
You can edit most of that. You can edit most of that. Just leave. Leave it up to people's imagination. You said a thing, so it's all good. They'll get it.
You said a thing. Okay.
A thing.
All right.
Okay.
I'll get back to it. He knows that Varys is not trustworthy. And he knows that Jay is a secret. So what the fuck is someone doing in the room when you know you're not supposed to leave and you're not supposed to be making friends and bringing them into our house, room, situation? And Varys gets real spicy with his flick talk. He basically is like, I am the best at keeping secrets. Your secret's totally safe with me, obviously. I won't tell a soul. I know everything. Ha ha ha! Tyrion does not take kindly to those threats and tells him, don't threaten me. Stops him at the door. And he's like, Varys with the pearl clutch. Oh, did I threaten you? Who threatened you? Did someone threaten you? What happened? I don't know anything about that. And Tyrion's like, yeah, bitch, no, you tried to threaten me. I ain't Ned Stark. I am with the fuck shit. I'll do whatever I need to do. I will throw you in the sea. You will not be around here. And Varys is like, oh, that's cute. I don't die. I'm a roach. I'm always around. I don't know why you guys haven't figured this out yet. Like, I will outlast you all. But this is cute. Okay, bye.
Do we have any indication of, like, how Varys knew she was there or what made him go up there to check on, like, did anything happen in the last episode? Or is it
just
there?
I don't think so. Just spiders. Just like Varys knew that his father didn't want her there as well.
Right.
He didn't just know, you know, this girl was sitting in Tyrion's room. He knew specifically.
I feel like she told him that. She didn't tell him that?
I didn't think she did.
I totally took it as Varys already knew everything.
Okay.
Because they told him.
Varys went to the room to have a conversation with someone he knew wasn't there. Knew wasn't supposed to be there. It wasn't like he happened to find her in the hallway and was like, oh, hey, what's happening? Who are you?
Oh, hey, can I go back to your place?
He's always armed with information. When he quote unquote pops up, he's always, you know, weaponized with some information, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Even when he went to visit Ned Stark in the little dungeon, he always seemed like he came with some prior knowledge of what was going on.
I agree. And she lied to Varys, so...
You didn't think that was tongue-in-cheek? You didn't think that was tongue-in-cheek that
how they met? You didn't think that was Varys, like,
the way that I took it, the way I took it is Varys already knows everything. This is how I interpreted it. Varys already knows everything. And then Shay lied to him because she knows that she's not supposed to be there, and for that specific reason that she's a whore, right? Like, so I didn't see her telling him that, so she lied, and then he pretended to believe her. That's how I took that whole situation. And then they have a small council meeting, so they gotta get going.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want, before we leave that, there was a fish pie analogy thrown in there early on.
What was that?
I didn't want to assume. That's what we're talking about, though?
I thought so, because if the assumption was also that Varys didn't like fish pie, and they were like, oh, we'll get him liking it. I don't know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It was a little bit of that.
Fish pie. I just thought it was just a cooking analogy, but I was totally wrong.
I think it was playing off of the lie, like Morgan was just saying, like, he knew the story, but he was also being tongue-in-cheek about going along with whatever she said about cooking, and so then she is also fucking with that same analogy on some, like, yeah, I make really great fish pie, and, you know.
He wouldn't be interested in that.
Yeah, so I thought that was funny.
Definitely. Right. Thank you for that call-out.
Yeah.
So now with the small council meeting, and Cersei's back to reliving that glory scene. Tear it up. She's just reading things sent by ravens and just tearing them up.
And, oh, yeah, he was like, you've made an
doing
art
what
of it.
She does best.
Doing what she does best. Tear it up. I always think of that glory scene when Cersei is tearing shit up. She's very kind of animated, it seems, at this meeting. And I think Tyrion's presence is doing nothing but agitating her further. They have another raven. This raven says Lord Mormont's handwriting and seal tells you that the dead attacked him and they had to kill it. And everybody ignores it and walks away from the goddamn table.
They're like, how do you kill a dead thing? Bye.
Apparently you burn it. Oh, the people up north, they're so dramatic. Yeah, nice. They're so dramatic. Literally, we have an army marching towards you right now. The wall is down. I'm sorry. I didn't, not to be ahead, but Jesus Christ. They all walked away from the table like it was a sitcom or something, like it was Friends or something. What is this malarkey?
No. Whatever, wait. Remember, she was like, you spend one day at the wall and already you're believing in Snarks and Grumpkins.
Grumper Snatches. She sent everybody away, right, for her and Tyrion, right? Because she was already, like, very upset, right? Okay. So, yeah. But it still seems sitcomish. They all left the table. Seemed like Moesha was about to start writing her diary or something. And, I can't stand Tyrion. I'm going to get somebody to assassinate his ass as soon as I get a chance. But, and then also, this is where Tyrion realizes that she's lost control of Joffrey totally with the killing of the bastards that wasn't ordered by her. But this is where I think it's a poignant moment where Tyrion realizes she has no control over her son, like everybody assumed she would when all of this thing was going down, when she was the good word of the dead. Tyrion restates that, Lord Mormont doesn't lie. He's not, like, writing a fantastical story, but again, it's out of sight, out of mind at this point. They're far off in the snow. You know, we're up here in the sun, so let them have their
fantasy. And they just don't believe it. They simply don't believe it.
Yeah.
But and look at the state of the Night's Watch now.
Right. Sorry. Like, it's more than just out of sight, out of mind. It's, you people, you dramatic people of the North, there's really nothing happening. Because nothing's happening over here. I mean, it's just short-sighted ignorance, just fully and completely, and they don't care to know more.
And also,
like
Varys drops the line. Go ahead, Anne.
Oh my! Although it's crazy because Pycelle is one of the main people that's like, you know, all the, you know, the guys, the men of the North are so colorful with their language and all that stuff. You're a Meister, though. You're supposed to be head of the information of the entire world, and you're supposed to be communicating with the Citadel. Like, this is supposed to be, you're supposed to know this stuff.
And he's the Meister so of quick. The laziest answers you can ever come up with.
Right.
You know, that's
because
your thing.
He's constantly living in this lie of being crippled and old and everything else. It's like he doesn't have time for anything else. He doesn't have time for any other information. Let me just continue to be feeble. Whatever. Which is why he meets the end that he does, because he's not aware of anything else going on around him at all. Not in the least.
And doesn't Varys also drop the line about the wildlings being less wild? And them gathering behind the king beyond the wall.
Yes.
And then Cersei plays it off. How many kings is that now? Five kings. I can't keep counting. You know, so little right. Gems being all sprinkled around this thing. Then we do another quick cut back to exactly where they're talking about up north. We're back at Craster's.
back at Craster's where. Sam is chilling with the homie. And I just have a quick question. They're talking about dead bodies and how much you fart when you die. And I need to understand, do men talk to each other about farting as much as TV and movies shows us you do?
No.
Goofy, jockey men do. Other men don't. There's towel snaps and farts and burps. I think that happened more in a locker room culture, like a true one with your teammates and all that shit, than does in casual male conversation.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that's their conversation. Old boys like, when my mom died, she farted so hard it shook the bed, which was something they could have left out, in my humble opinion. Anyway.
Also, white guys. You're not sitting on the stoop talking about who farted. No one cares.
So then we get a scream, and Ghost, who is over half the size of Gilly, is trying to get her rabbit. Or her, one of the two. And Sam appears to be super brave, and he's like, Ghost, you go on, Ghost. You just get on out of here. You get away from the fair lady. Don't scare her anymore. And then Gilly's like, heart eyes, holy shit, here's my white knight in shining armor, or black leather. And she's like, oh, don't touch me, though. Don't do that, because I'm is at home, and that dude is crazy. Is that her dad then, officially? Craster is her dad,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dad, husband.
Yeah. Dad.
I mean, are they married?
No, that's her dad, and the baby inside of her is his too.
The father of her children.
Right.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. So she's like, "Don't touch me." And Sam was just trying to be like, hey, are you okay? Because he gives hugs just at all times. And and so he jumps back. Oh, no, sorry. This was their moment. This is where the sparks flew for both of them. Sam meets his destiny, if you will, his fate. No, fate's the wrong word. Doesn't matter. He takes a very quick liking to Gilly.
Were you aware at this moment? Were you aware
of
that they would be
how foolhardy
they would be your favorite? They would be your favorite couple ever in the history of television. Were you aware at this very moment that you would be following these two with their dirty, doughy eyes?
Dirty, doughy. No. Damn.
God. Yeah. Good gracious. Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
You didn't know? You had no idea?
No. That's cool. No. Just
You're still riding on your Benson high?
For this call because of this scene.
Oh, and were you?
Foolhardy. How foolhardy.
Foolhardy.
But we didn't get to that yet. Oh. We're just, let's not jump ahead.
We have plenty of time.
All right, well, we could get back on track. And,
mm-hmm.
and Sam takes Gilly to John.
So these are the moments where I'm just like, God damn it, John's just minding his business. You know, he's over here sharpening his sword. He's been warned like four times since he got here. Like, nobody touches my daughters, all right? Fucking Jon Snow, you bastard child. You know,
right.
He's just trying to mind his business.
Point it out. Yeah.
Right. And so here come fucking Sam and Gilly, who have clearly had a conversation off camera also about how serious it is. And Sam's just fucking like, oh, John, I want you to meet Gilly. He's like, hi, what are you doing? No, it's cool. No, what are you doing? He's like, listen. And then Gilly's dopey ass is just like, they were just meant for each other, you know? Sam says you can help.
So they
proceed to argue right in front of Gilly. Like, what the fuck are you thinking?
We can't.
Like, you want to steal this girl? We can't take her with us? What are you talking about? And Sam's like, I mean, she's not a goat. You can't steal her. She's a human.
Look how much
humanity I have.
Yeah.
Look how much fun we're having.
He's doing the absolute most. Yes, and I'm on your side at this
point.
I actually was on your side at this point.
Right. So he's like, well, basically, fine. You can't steal her. She's a human. But are you trying to die? Because that's what I'm trying to say to you. And then even if you are trying to die, are you going to deliver her baby when we out here in the world? And he's like,
Here we go, Sam.
I read about it.
Here we go.
Sam is trying to be a fucking doula, a midwife, a fucking obstetrician. He's doing it all, okay?
He's doing it all.
Read a thing or two, you know? Yeah.
Book. I watched the YouTube video. Sam is doing YouTube videos in Westeros.
So, a good
comment.
You have a comment?
Yeah, because he says the same. We're heading into the north. We're heading into the north. That's what we're doing. And you want to take her with us.
Yeah.
God, he's such a genius. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. I don't know. I don't know where you guys are. I don't know. You know. I know where Sam ends up. But you guys, you try to treat me like the hate isn't justified. I wanted to smack him down. Sam, wake up. You're going to get us all killed. What the hell is your problem? You barely know this girl.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
And then before all of that, he was like, I like watching girls when they walk away. I wish I grew up on the farm. Wake up, Sam. Give me some turnips and some potatoes. You got to eat. Pay attention. Snap on it.
Okay.
You're focused on the wrong thing, Samuel.
He's worried about the wrong thing.
You're worried about the wrong
thing. Sam hasn't been around the ladies. No, I think about it. Sam hasn't done well around the ladies.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't.
Also, let me be clear, I was with you. You know, like, I didn't like Sam. Sam totally pissed me off, just not nearly as bad as you. But many a moment are like, Sam, what the fuck? You can't do that. This is dumb. Yes, that happens a lot. There's just a moment where you turned hater, and that's when Sam was on his way to redeeming himself, and you won't give him credit for that. And now we can get back on track.
You guys wanted to give him credit a little too early in the game. That's my whole thing. It's like he's done so much. Huh? It was like you guys wanted to give him credit too early in the game. he's done so much dumb shit. The first thing he did that was awesome, it was like, wipe the slate clean, Sam's great. Like, oh,
no one said that.
Nobody said that.
But you literally would definitely
talk about that. He accidentally killed the White Walker.
That's what we're talking about. And that's what we're talking about, Amber. This is where you go south. This is where you ride off in the wrong direction.
He killed the White Walker because he ran away.
Okay.
You were upset when he did that at all. You were pissed off at him for even doing that somehow because he ran away. There was a thousand crows
and it fell against the White Walker.
What I'm hearing now is you projected. You think that we were just wiping that slate clean, so you had to go full opposite and pretend it didn't happen. And that's
I wanted to keep you guys honest.
Well, by lying, that doesn't work.
No.
Let's move forward. By making shit up and acting like things didn't happen, that's not keeping us honest. Thank you, Anderson Cooper. Well, let's plug ahead.
Keep it in mind.
All right, so now we jump over to the Red Waste with Jorah.
Thank you, Afro.
And Khaleesi.
Okay, so we're at the Red Waste. Pretty simple scene here. They look off in the distance and see a horse coming back. She did send out some of her blood riders in each direction. And one comes back, but this one comes back minus its body. It's just the head on a horse. Well-trained horse, though. Walked right up to the camp with the head. And
in his pocket.
Yeah. I got something for you. Khaleesi's lips are doing horrible. Horrid. Real bad.
So are Jorah's, by the way.
But I don't know why, but Khaleesi looks worse because it matches her hair. I want somebody to take a big, nice, scathing scoop of Blistex and smack her with it, backhand and forward.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll do something. It looks pretty dire for them out there in the Red Waste. They pretty much are dying off following the Khaleesi. Jorah also tells her that it could have been one of the other cows that chopped his head off. You know, like, just die already. I think that was the message. And and we find out one of her one of the women in her Khaleesi was his girlfriend or something like that, and she was going on and on about they killed his soul, they made it so his soul wouldn't go on to the afterlands or something, the nightlands. Is that where we get the title from? And by chopping off his ponytail, because his ponytail was chopped too. So something they did also dishonored his death. And then the camera pulls back and the girl's still screaming. And Khaleesi can't really do anything about it.
Well, she does promise her something.
I'm sorry.
He would be with the ancestors that night or something like that. She was like,
yeah, that's what she
since he wasn't burned, you know, he wouldn't be able to be with the ancestors. And she was like, oh, he going to be with them tonight. I promise you that.
They
couldn't burn his head. They needed to burn his body too, right? That's probably why he took the body.
Right, his whole body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we move on to disgusting ass Theon.
Man.
Oh,
okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll be quick. So Theon is surveying the Iron Island from the boat. Theon's on a boat like the SNL digital short. He is living his best life.
It is.
He's coming home. All the bitches waiting for him. There's paparazzi. they throw him money. Like, he just knows that's the scene he's going to pull up to. That's the dock is just a hole. It's lit waiting for him. So he's like, yeah, I can't wait to get there. Goes into his room, starts taking clothes off. I'm like, do you change? Oh, wait, there's a naked lady in your room. Solid. So they banter, and Theon is really, really full of himself. Theon is definitely like, I'm the fucking man. I'm not even sure why you're here. I mean, I'm definitely going to fuck you, but I'm not sure that you should really even be here because you're not even really that worthy because I'm the man. And at one point, she's talking like, oh, take me with you, blah, blah, blah. And she smiles, and he's like, try smiling with your mouth closed. Yeah, that's better. Theon, do you know what you look like? Do you have any idea what the fucking rat face you got popping right now? All the nerve. All of the nerve.
Your sister got all the good looks. Yeah. Your sister got all the good looks.
She took them off.
On the show.
Yeah, so then he. I mean, I wasn't coming for Alfie's crown. I wasn't trying to be mean to him. But,
oh, okay.
You know.
You was going for Alfie?
Just Theon. But okay. Anyway, after that smile thing, he just pushes her down and starts hitting her with the Iron Island pile driver stroke that looks fucking disgusting and flips her around and does it from the back.
It did. It
and
sounded
she keeps
really
talking
pasty.
About it. Is that a what?
It sounded really pasty.
All right.
Okay.
Unsavory. Sorry.
All right. So it was a. It was an unenthusiastic sex scene, and we can move forward. So then we get to a different kind of sex scene.
We get to, like full-on soft porn, you know, like Cinemax type shit. Which is like, I just did not remember that shit at all. I was like, whoa, where did all this come from? We got a little reverse cowboy happening.
There's options.
And a BJ in the next room. And then
while
you can
he was
hear
looking
like
into the one room.
Right, looking into the one room. And then suddenly it's like baby crying. Baby crying. Like who's crying? So anyway, fucking Littlefinger is watching porn or managing, however you wanna put it. So he's peeping and peeping everything going on. One of the homies, I don't know if he's the homies, one of the clients comes out and he's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with that girl, but I paid good money. I barely even got to touch her, and now she's all hysterical and what the fuck's going on. Littlefinger, being the weird-ass G that he is, starts quarterbacking a move. He sees the other homegirl has freed up. So he's like, let me wipe your mouth real quick. All right, cool. Yeah, hang out with this girl. She'll take care of you. And I'm going to go
and
check on
him immediately.
Right. Yeah.
A little bit of that.
Which
yeah.
was, yes, disgusting. He's like, let me just wipe these little creases in your mouth. And now, yeah, go ahead, kiss dude. Perfect. Now, let me see what's going on in here. And so he goes, and it's Roz, and Roz is like, the girl, like, she worked for you, yo, and, like, that was her baby. That was Megan. Megan, you know, Megan, it was her baby. And he's like, ah, yes, that shit, yeah. I usually hope things like that don't happen here. You know, I knew someone here that was sad once, and, you know, sadness in you bitches is a bad investment. That makes me angry, and I don't like that. I don't know what to do with sad people, but they're bad for business. And so you take the night off and get your shit together tomorrow, and you'll be happy then, and that'll make me happy. All right, bye-bye. That was just it. Like, all righty then, Littlefinger. Thank you for that, showing us. You know, I didn't really expect anything different from him. I didn't think he was going to hold her and console her.
Right.
That definitely was not going to happen. He was maybe even a little more gentle with his words than I thought he was going to be, even though he was still saying some slick shit.
That was just the most pimping ass scene.
Yeah.
And she recognized the game the entire time. She was like, oh, he's okay,
yeah.
I get it. She was like, oh, man, this is, all right, well, I do like to live, so thanks for this advice.
It was a nice reminder that Littlefinger is a pimp. You know, if we forgot, you know, with all his small council meetings and things, he still is a pimp and runs a brothel.
Right.
He got to get his product back to working condition. So take the night off.
Bubba, not relation.
You know, and we'll get you, you know, you and your pussy back together tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, put your hands in team break.
All righty then.
Okay. Things I didn't see coming for 1,000, Alex. Okay.
Exactly. Like, whoa. All right.
Uh-oh.
So anyway.
Together. Okay.
Now we move on to Tyrion and the old, what was he, the head of the Kingsguard channel?
City Watch.
City Watch. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we moved to a conversation with him and Tyrion and Bronn in the background, just waiting for his cues.
So I didn't recognize the dude at first. You know, as they're having the conversation, I'm like, okay, all right. It's almost like, well, it's not almost like, dude did not realize that Tyrion was basically playing him the whole time, interrogating him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a lord now, so he's living in it. He's still on the cell. And then when he gets to the point, I think he asked him, he said, he said that Ned had tried to buy him. And he was like, oh, man, and he didn't realize you were already bought. So... I'm not taking this from no imp. So he calls him something else, and Tyrion's like, listen, bro, not only will you take it, dwarf, right? He's like, man, you should have stuck with imp. Because not only will you take it, you're up out of here. You're gone. You're heading to the wall. And when Tyrion said that, I was like, wait a minute. Now I recognize this guy. Okay. All right. Damn. That's
yeah.
Crazy. He was like, the Queen Regent and the King, they won't hear of it. Oh, you're right. They won't hear of it at all. We're getting you up out of here this instant, like gone. This is my man, Bronn. He's now got your old job. And these guys that used to work for you don't work for you anymore. And Bronn's like, you know, we'll escort you because it's pretty unsafe, you know, at night. Just walking through the streets like this. We're going to make sure you get where you got to go. So we'll escort you down to the ship. So that was hilarious. That whole scene was hilarious. Then I think it's in the same scene. Yeah, same scene. Tyrion asked Bronn, you know, if I asked you to kill some babies, would you just do it without question? And Bronn was like, nah, there'd be a question. And I'd ask you how much.
So I'm gonna kill
at
that
this
baby.
Point, like, yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I feel like this, at this point, they're still trying to sell us on how Bronn is just about the bread, and we end up finding out later he's got a lot more honor than he leaves on. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I don't even think he would align himself with someone that would have him kill babies on some real shit. Like, he wouldn't even have that type of allegiance to anyone like that, money or not. Anybody else have anything on that?
The look on Tyrion's face at the end of that was a little mortified, like. Well,
he didn't expect that answer.
I didn't, yeah.
Well, yeah,
didn't expect that.
Yeah. So now we're back on the road with everyone heading to the Night's Watch, and we got the kids washing, look like they're washing plates and, pots and bowls in the river.
Yeah, and what's the kid's name? The Biscuit, or what's his name?
Hot Pie.
Hot Pie, okay.
That's my guy.
Oh, I forgot that was Hot Pie because he looked so mean face at first, and you know, I forget that he turns into soft. Oh, wow, that's him. Oh, wow, I thought it was another big fat kid. Oh, that's funny.
Hot Pie is talking about all the battles he's seen and shit. They like, you ain't seen no damn battles, yo. Like, the fuck is you talking about? He's like, nah, like,
battles.
I seen two dudes brawl outside of a bar before, and they like, nigga, two dudes fighting is not a battle. And he's like, I mean, but they had on armor. And they're like, dog, you just don't have it. That is not a battle. And so Gendry pops over. He's like, any fool can buy armor, yo. And he's like, well, how do you know? And Gendry's like, because I used to sell armor, you idiot. He's like, oh, all right, well, got it.
Things
so,
legit.
Yeah. He was like, if he was a knight. Well, how'd you know he was a knight?
Yeah, he was a knight. How you know he was a knight? He had on armor. Like, oh, God, dude. So anyway, the Hot Pie and the other kid, they break off, and now it's just Arya and Gendry. And so Arya's like, yo, why were they looking for you? And Gendry's like, I don't know. And she calls him a liar, and it's like, my favorite line, so Gendry's like, you need to stop insulting people that are bigger than you. And she's like, well, then I wouldn't get to insult anyone, so.
We're not going to live by that life philosophy.
Right. So, yeah, she's asking him why they're looking for him, and he's like, look, I don't know. You know, last couple people that came looking for me were Jon Arryn, and then Lord Stark, and so, you know, they both wound up dead a couple weeks after they were looking for me, so, you know, I wouldn't ask too many questions about me if I were you type shit. And she's like, okay. And he's like, well, why did you think they were looking for you? And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, because you're a girl? And she's like, I'm not a girl. I'm a boy. My name's Ari. He's like, yeah, okay. And he's like, okay. Well, then go ahead and pee for me real quick then. And she's like, all right, I'm a girl. But she can't tell him.
First she was like, I don't have to.
Oh, yeah, she's like, I don't need to take a piss right now.
She said, whip out your cock.
I don't have to go, so. So then she tells him basically who she is, and he's like, well, wait, that means that you grew up in a castle. That means you're a lady. You're not just a girl. You're a fucking lady, yo. Oh, I probably should have said that thing about whipping out your cock and peeing. My bad. He's like, oh, I should be calling you my lady. I'm sorry, my lady. She's like, don't call me that. She hits him. He's like, that's nothing for a lady to do. So he's just fucking with her. Yeah. So that was a cute scene. And I feel like that's probably the only person she ends up confiding that information in.
I think you're right.
So, yeah, not Elizabeth. I don't think anybody else. Because after this, she, you know, gets with the hound.
It was after this scene. It was during this scene. I was like, now I feel like I understand why Afro was so excited to see Gendry later on. Like, this was very heartwarming, this banter between the two of them. I was just like, oh,
true.
This is dope.
That is true.
This is great. I would have loved more of this. Because when he came up, when he, you know, returns in later seasons, I'm like, who's this guy? What's he doing? Why is Afro so excited about this? What's this, Gendry? What's he doing? Whose son is he? I don't know. What's happening?
Well, Gendry was cool, but most of what I remember with Gendry is the shit later with the Red Woman. Like, I don't even remember how he gets to be with Stannis and that and her. Well, I know it does come from being on the road.
He gets sold by
the Red Woman. Yeah, exactly. But I remember that. And remember she put the leeches on him?
Yeah, that was drawn. But wait.
That's like my main memory of him. And I'm like, damn, what happens to this dude after? You know, he just fucking disappears.
But speaking of season 8, or the season we're currently about to have, didn't he run back to Castle Black to send the Raven? So if he did that, isn't Arya there?
Yeah.
No.
Well, she's at Winterfell.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, he's at Winterfell.
I was just thinking that she's in the snow and he's
slicing throats and shit.
Mm. Right. Okay. Sorry, y'all. Thinking about it.
So that was pretty much it. And then we jump back to the docks in the Iron Islands with Theon.
So we get to the dock, and Theon is awaiting his, like, royal welcoming, the last on his back, and it's pretty much like an Emperor's New Clothes situation. Nobody's there, only he sees it. He's just looking around, and nobody's like caring who he is. He's dressed in all of his fancy wares, and he's talking, and he tells his one guy the contents of the boat, including himself, and the guy could care less. And so he's like, I have to get the pike. And the guy does the little universal sign for him, come up off some money, wet boy, and then I'll go get your horse. So, Yeah, I was a little disappointed. You know, maybe his welcoming party's at the castle. So before he can get to the horse, a young lady walks up and makes his acquaintance.
Yes, so this lovely young lady says, hey, I'm going that way. I'll totally give you a ride. And Theon's like, I knew all the bitches were waiting for me. What up, though? And
terrible, yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, verbatim. All the bitches were waiting for me. So she's like, yeah, I'll totally take you. And he flirts with her a little bit. And then the dude that's supposed to get the horse, right, comes back. And or they see each other. And Theon hands him some money, like, leave the Lambo out front. Talking about send my shit to the castle. Dude.
Yeah, get my bags for the castle. Them bags are going to be in that water, floating out to sea.
Exactly. That man looked at the money like, now what the fuck just happened? Who said what and why? Theon's a whole mess. So he's riding on the back of the horse with this lady, and he said something like, oh, I should be the one who's, I don't know what happened, steering the horse, because I've been doing this for, like, ever, a solid 9 years. That's what I've been doing. She's like, oh, 9 years, so you haven't been on a ship or something. And he totally doesn't even say anything back to it. He just doesn't pay attention because he's too busy trying to figure out how he gets to touch her inappropriately. So at some point, she's like, when's the last time your hands touched some rope? And he was like, titties! And then just puts his hand in her shirt because that absolutely correlated.
What was he like, Mark?
Titties! I mean, it made absolutely no sense.
Disgusting piece of a man.
Yeah, so super gross. You're just a slimy, smarmy-ass dude, and he's groping this nice woman who has offered him a ride to his rightful castle or whatever the fuck he thinks he's going to do. And he's talking shit the whole fucking way. Like, I'm way better at you than anything that you could ever think of because I have a dick, and I'm also going to be a king, so tell your grandkids about this shit. You got to take this guy home. Fucking gross. So at some point, he moves his hand from the boobs and tries to get it in her pants. She never stops him, but he doesn't actually make it happen. I don't know why he stopped short. Maybe it's because they're both riding a horse. I'm not sure.
It definitely was for lack of trying. He was definitely trying his hardest because he kept going.
I mean, the hand never left the pants.
It was definitely in the pants for the rest of the ride.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The entire rest of the ride, there was some fingers in the pants. It just, I don't think we got.
And when he had his hand down there, he said, you can tell your grandchildren about this. And she said she doesn't think this will be a tale for children.
Yes, thank you.
Boy, was she right.
Because it wouldn't be.
No.
Question, throwing it out there. What do we think about her for this?
I think there is a moment of the heightened embarrassment. The embarrassment can be heightened the more she lets him make a fool of himself.
Can I
interject really quick, please?
Yes.
Yes.
These are the only kind of pranks that white people play. Nobody else allows their brother to almost finger bang them for a prank, for a payoff of embarrassment. Nobody fucking does that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't.
I mean, it was embarrassing, but it was also like undercover. Like, she was that desperate to find out, I guess, like what he's like and what his personality is like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's fully doing recon because what we find out. Oh, we're jumping ahead.
Well, she wants to show that she's better than him almost immediately. That's part of it too.
Yeah,
she's covert than he is. She knew who he was immediately. He didn't know who she was. He's this, you know, erudite attitude when you're you know, everyone's looking at you like a fucking orphan and you don't even actually belong here.
gave up all the info right away.
Like, right away. All of it. Yeah, like, her, if that was her mission,
yeah,
like, see what he's like, she fucking nailed it before they even got on the horse, you know?
Yeah, if someone was looking to kill him upon his arrival, he'd been dead on the dock.
Did she have to let it go that far, though? Because she still have found out that information without fucking
allowing it. She would have got all of it. She would have got all the information. Because it would have been a challenge somehow for him. Like, oh, wow, I'll tell you this. Da-da-da. You know, like, yeah, she would have got it all. That's what I'm saying. Nobody lets that happen. This is a – nobody plays these kind of pranks. But
I mean, letting it play out, though – like, it sweetened the deal, especially because not only is this your sister, you're coming back thinking you're the big man in charge. She is actually running shit. So playing into
she's
this whole, you know, yeah. Say again?
No, I said she's fully in charge.
Oh, yeah, fully in charge.
Yeah.
So here it is. You think you're coming back. You're the rightful heir and all of this big shit you're talking. And now you're trying to have your way with this, you think, this random chick. She's the boss of you. Like, she's fully the boss of you, Fanny. And you're about
what,
to
but now, yeah.
Life.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think that
we're
was,
jumping
like,
ahead.
Additional. Oh, that wasn't, I'm sorry. That was the same thing. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I was just watching the scene, and it just, I found myself being frustrated at her as well as him this time around. Mm. As opposed
yeah, no,
to
it's fair.
Like, God damn it, Theon. Like, what the hell is going on? But, I mean,
yeah,
not to mention you just finished
knows.
Fucking someone on a boat.
Right. You just got done, and you're like, ooh, Taz, and I want to put
right.
the thing in the...
Right.
You just
and,
got
and he
done
does
doing
exactly
all
that,
these things.
He tries to touch her breast, and she lets that happen. And I feel like that's how people are. They'll try and do one thing, and then be like, all right, that
yep.
worked, so now let me take it a little bit further.
Next.
Right, and so I just felt like she could have shut that down, but still, like, been, like, led him on in a way to make him think that, you know, there was going to be some push for him at the castle. There was going to be some shit for him, you know, like, so, yeah, I totally feel you on that, Morgan. Like, not a lot of people would have let it go that far. Like, talk about taking one for the team. But then we're also talking about a time period where I think people did, like, incest was a thing. Like, you know, we're seeing it in a bunch of different forms from...
We definitely are. But we definitely are. It still never ceases to throw me, though, right? Like, and
yeah,
especially
for sure.
In the way that scene went was a reveal of it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in that first, you know, in... that part we just talked about, we don't know that, and
yeah,
we're just a little creeped out for her the first time we
right.
see it. Like, damn, she's just giving you a ride, you fucking creep. Like,
yeah.
don't touch. And then find it this way, it's like, oh, God, why are you no, like, buck him off the horse if you need to. Like, this is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's happening mm-hmm. here. Yeah, I feel you. Am, did you have something to add before we moved on?
Oh, no, that was it. That was it. That was it.
Okay. So she takes him to his father. He gets to the castle.
All right, so Theon's in the castle. His father doesn't, A, want to look at him. B, takes a glance at him and starts pretty much making fun of him and dressing him down. And I relate with Balon on this. Your son's coming back from being a ward. He's gotten very confused. You're trying to see whose side he's on. He's wearing all of these fancy get-ups. He doesn't look wet and dirty like everybody else.
He's the only clean
one. So it definitely doesn't look like one of us. His father walks up to him and immediately unhinges his baubles and makes his little cake fall. And he says Balon Greyjoy will not have his son dressing as a whore. So definitely emasculating him. With his daughter's clothing. He even said that to him one time. And I think...
He said, Ned Stark dress you as a girl.
And then he also brings in Yara. And it's funny because as Yara comes in, he starts, like, scolding the help. Didn't I tell you to wait outside? Like, what are you doing?
How'd you get past the guards?
The guards, right. Huh. How did you get past the guards? Like, what are you doing out here? And he walks next to it, and then he immediately recognizes her. Yara! I just tried to put my finger in your yoni and smell it afterwards and let my friend, nope. my
all right.
homeboy smell
all right.
it.
Let's cut it there.
Oh, my God.
Cut it.
Now, that's,
cut
something,
it.
That's something boys do. So, you know, show their friends their finger.
Thanks for the clarification.
All right. All right. Enough with the finger.
Okay.
You know how you tell Castro to stop something and he just still explain? Nah, because you know.
You know, with the finger. Like, no.
Like, yeah, I just don't want to hear that word anymore.
You won't, you know, you won't say stop. I think once, you know, I go a little further. Sorry.
You're on timeout from the word finger.
Okay. So after he, you know, after he sucks his thumb from thumb banging his sister.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Wow. Went back in. He went back in.
He just had to do it.
He had to do it.
I'm sorry.
And you're not
sorry. Blame the heart. Blame the heart, not the mind.
Oh, wow.
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 Really? Really? You use that one?
Blame the heart, not the mind.
Holy snikey.
Okay. And also, this is where Baylon also asserts, like we mentioned earlier, that Yara runs shit around these parts. Every night that she was in, she was on a ship learning to navigate and sail. While you were rolling around in your silken Egyptian cloth sheets and having sex with bucktooth women, did Ned Stark teach you how to have sex with bucktooth women? And, like, you know, but pretty much this is also a test. Are you down for us or what? Like, you bringing these little notes.
Right.
He reads the note. He's like, I don't need him to help me be no king and no aunt. And it was kind of a little condescending note. When he read it, I realized how condescending it was. You fight with me. And you'll be king of Iron Island. And Balon's like, I'm already
He's
king
like,
of that damn Iron Island. you go out to my car, take the keys out of my car, and give me the keys. Like, hey, you can drive your car. Thanks.
Enjoy.
Thank you for helping me. I don't understand what the hell's going on.
And meanwhile, Theon's like, they didn't send me with the note. It was my idea. Like, yeah, it was my plan.
Like, you made that better.
His father's
like,
not
oh,
that.
They take your counsel. Is that what you're trying to say?
I ride with him. I hunt with him. He considers
He's
my
brother. He's my
brother.
He's my
brother. Shit out of him.
Well, tell your brother I'm burning up his fucking note. Tell your little brother I'm burning up his note. All right, here's the note. That's what I think of that. And
fuck your little
you know,
note.
Again, are you with me or not? And they don't really get an answer, and they walk out and leave him in there. All right, thanks.
But Pete, though, because remember he said, with them, with our forces, you know, combined, we can take out the Lannisters. And he said, who's anything about fighting the Lannisters?
When
yeah,
no, he said. He said without them. He said, without us combined, you'll never beat the Lannisters.
Right.
Right. And
right.
He said, whoever said anything about the Lannisters.
But yeah. About going against yeah. the Lannisters, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's pretty right. much taking his claim as, I'm going to be a king here. I don't care what anybody else is doing. That's what he's pretty much saying.
Right.
He doesn't seem like he's sending anybody out. We're going to fortify him.
Right.
That was a good catch in.
But
all right.
There was something earlier yeah. in the conversation before he released the baubles. When he asked him, he was like, did you pay for this, the iron price, or did you pay gold? And I was like, man.
He was saying that. Was there a man, like, laying dead underneath you, you know, and you ripped his clothes from him, or did you, you know, buy this at a store, you sissy?
So that's right. Lord forbid you have anything on that's brand new. This is why they all got rags on, because they're taking clothes off of dead people. This is how they dress themselves. They go killing each other. My man's leather is nice. I'm going to go fishing
him
real quick. Now, this is how they do it. This is why all their clothes have holes in it. They kill the person that was wearing the clothes before them, and then it has holes. So now this particular jacket has hit like three different people. You can tell because it's completely shredded. This is ridiculous. This is you don't live like this, you know?
No.
Theon was better as a son.
Theon is... when he figures out who Yara is, he's like, she can't lead. She's a girl. She's a woman. He's like, yeah, but you're wearing the skirt. And
yo.
That was such a great moment. And then the camera panned out so you could see what they both had on, and it was like, oh. And then also during that scene, they're in the midst of this, like, heated, you know, back and forth with all three of them. And I forget what happens, but then somebody hits it with the "What's Dead May Never Die," and then they all repeat "What's Dead May Never Die," "What's Dead May Never Die," and they all go back.
But he does it all late. Like, he's not synced in with. Oh, they were talking about their brother. His brother. I remember my brother.
Oh right. Mm-hmm. Oh
like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She's been leading since your brother passed. What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? All right, but anyway, bullshit.
It was a full Castro pause. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was a full Castro pause. He was 3 seconds behind everyone else. Never die. Yes, I'm there. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, I remember how to, it was like, oh, I remember how to do that too. Dead, die, never dead. Anyway.
It is known.
So then up next, we have the Onion Knight. They're
back to the
walking
beach.
The beach. Back to the beach. Onion Knight's talking to the pirate, and he's got his son out there with him. It was good to see this guy, because this is one of the black characters I totally forgot about, because we don't even have that many. But I totally forgot about this dude altogether. He's trying to rally forces for Spanish. And didn't he do that? He had like 70 ships? Like, you're a pirate. What is happening? Is that what
he
said? He
said 30 or 300. It was a 3 in it. 30 ships or 300. 30, okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of ships for a pirate. Like, what is happening?
It is.
Either way. Yeah, so, you know, they're having a conversation. And, oh, man, I forgot all about his son. How much of a zealot he was, and you know the fate he ended up meeting later on. But it was just, you know, it was just funny to hear him speak so highly of Stannis the entire time. Like, you know, Stannis the rightful heir, and you know he's a great leader and strategist, and you know he's gonna win this. I never really had full confidence in Stannis, especially because he's running behind Melisandre the whole time. And just some of the moves are just like, you know, Stannis, I mean, what are we talking about here? Either way, he's like, all right, you know what? Sounds like something I could do on one condition. I get to fuck Cersei. He's like, I'm not sure if I can guarantee that. And dude had this look on his face like, just get me there.
How about the fuck?
I'll handle the fucking.
Wait, Ann. He did say, like, I want to fuck her. You know, you gotta say it like that. I'm going to fuck her.
You have to say it like that.
That's what he said.
Okay.
I'm going to fuck her. Okay. The blonde queen.
Apparently, it's all about pronunciation.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you got that done for me. But, but it was like, you know, hey, don't worry. Just get me there. I'm not asking you, you know, to have a conversation with her and give her the liking. You know, I got my own G. My game's sweet. Just get me there and make sure no one else is lined up. And I got this. I'm going to handle it. The dude was like, you know, this is about Stannis. This is about honor. This is about us, you know, having the rightful king on the throne. I'm not going to let you just rape the queen. He's like, I didn't say anything about rape. I'm going to fuck her. Like, my game is tight, bro. He's like, I understand. You don't know what it is because I haven't tried to fuck you. You don't know how good my game is.
In
that boy's face. He's like, okay, all right, I'm out of here. Look what his face is amazing.
Father, you and these black people.
Yep. You and these Negroes. So then I think he cuts back to his father. What's this guy's name? Why can't I remember his name now?
Davos.
Right. So he's like, you know, I never would have figured your son would be such a true believer. And he was like, he's young, you know. And if he dies young, Davos, he never grows out of this shit. Terrible.
Okay, so Matthos, his son, him and Davos are having a theological conversation. And pretty much it breaks down to
Davos' true faith is in his benefactor, which is Stannis. And he says, you want to believe in the god, you believe in Stannis. Everything that's provided for you is Stannis. And also we know because Davos was at a really low point, helps Stannis out and, you know, has been trending upwards ever since, I guess. So his loyalty is to him. And it goes to show you Davos is not thinking of the older gods, the seven gods. He's just rolling with Stannis. He's not thinking of the fire god, you know, any of the drowned god. He's like, I'm good on these gods. You know, I roll with the man's thing. So
the other dude says that, too. He's like, you guys and your gods, I've been all over the world, and everybody say, there's the true god. There's the true god.
Yeah.
You know, like, everybody's talking about their gods. And he's like,
yeah, and the son is real devout. He believes in, I guess he would believe in the older
Lord
god.
Of light.
Well,
nah, he's Lord
no,
of light.
The son
he's
doesn't believe.
No, the son said. Yeah, he said it. He was like, has the blessing of the Lord of the Light or whatever. Like he says it when they're on the beach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? I was blanking out thinking he was just being Christian. Sorry. You know, I was just, he just seemed like, you know, we also discredit, I mean, it wasn't much time for it. We discredit that all of them were following the Lord of the Light through Stannis by way of Melisandre. They all were, like, you know, out there burning out and stuff. So, definitely true. Okay. So, after, again, the Onion Knight pledges infinite loyalty to Stannis, we do another quick cut back to King's Landing.
Right.
Two of
so the conversation
yeah.
we got into earlier. So, this is Tyrion sitting down with Cersei after he's already come to the conclusion. Well, he's had the conversation with former head of the King's Guard about the infants being killed. So he comes back to Cersei with it, and the look on her face clearly communicates that this was not her order. I forgot exactly what he said to her. Like, you know, you don't even have the dignity to deny it. And then she just looked
right,
and was like, oh, shit, it wasn't even you.
And he knows his sister.
Yeah,
he knows his sister. Yeah.
Right. So at that point, it's like, it's crystal clear. You have no control over this dude. You have no control over him. How did they get to the conversation about Tyrion killing his mother in birth? I don't remember how the monster reference came up.
So, because at first they're talking about Joffrey. I think that's also when Tyrion realizes how monstrous he is, and again that she has no control over him. And
but
then he makes a joke, right?
Yeah.
But he makes a joke. Mm-hmm. Stannis says that your brother's been falling over you over and over and over again, something like that.
Yeah.
And she says,
hey.
she says,
you always got a joke,
right?
Yeah.
Like, don't forget
talk
the
about
first
that
joke.
First joke.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Well, look at that.
Don't forget the first joke when you killed our mother. And he's like, she was my mother too. I'm like, yeah, everybody trying to hear what that shit be. She was my mom for real. I mean, this was a less cunning Cersei. This was she's never been wittier than Tyrion, but this is a moment where she's just like grasping at straws, just anything that she can say to try to feel like she's in control of the situation. Because she clearly
I feel
doesn't.
Like
she wants to.
She has brought up him killing their mother so many times that I'm always kind of like, oh, here we go again. Is she going to say
it?
Here we
go again.
Gonna...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's
I feel
that's
like
your line
runs
again.
Out of shit. Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. Because, I mean, Tywin was right in sending Kimmy in there to be the hand. He knew she didn't have control of the situation. As much as she wants to pretend and tear up documents left and right, you don't really have control of the situation. Like, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You sitting in these council meetings means absolutely nothing, because when you go back to Joffrey, he's not listening to you. He's doing whatever he wants. Like, the council meetings are completely separate. That's just for the shit that he doesn't want to deal with. That's all the council meetings are for, shit he doesn't want to deal with. No one can give him any advice whatsoever. So, yeah, that was that. And then, so we cut back to Dragonstone, and Stannis and Davos are discussing strategy.
Yeah, so Stannis comes in, and Davos is like, yep, my man got 30 ships, and he's going to help us out. He's going to add that to our fleet, and, you know, he's going to fight with us. And so Stannis, which, you know, I hate when people do shit like that. They'd be like, how'd it go? And he'd be like, yo, we got the support. And they're like, but can we trust them? Is it cool? Is it good? You know, like, the fuck you asked me for then? Like, what's... Anyway, so yeah, he's like, you know, last I heard, pirates are jerks, you know, some type of shit like that. And then he's like, basically, can we trust your boy? And he's like, well, Davos is like, I mean, I never said I trusted him. I've known him for 30 years. Like, trust isn't something I would say. But is he motivated by that goal? Like, yes. Is he going to do what he's, you know, the job that he signed up for? Like, yes. Stannis is back in his usual deep thought, you know, all right, well, leave us alone. And so Davos is a little confused because he's like, you just got here. I thought we were all going to hang out for a while, but I guess not. So Davos leaves. And then meanwhile, the Red Woman stops his son and is like, yo, something about the Lord and the light. And now let me also whisper something in your ear. All right, keep going. And Stannis is just looking at her like, the fuck you have to say to him in his ear, you know? She's like, oh, I just told him that, you know, to burn to death is a noble death or some shit. And, yeah, and he's like, but why?
For the fall.
He's like, why are you telling that? She's like, because it's the
truth.
To think
that she was all
wrong. Like, no, not like, why? I mean, like, why? You know, but he was like,
why?
He just, yeah, he was like, you know what, forget
why
it.
Why
like,
him,
whatever.
Dummy?
So then Stannis goes into his normal worrying, you know, I got 100,000. I mean, my little brother got 100,000 men, and I don't have that, and I don't know. And she's like, you have to give yourself to the Lord of the Light. And he's like, I did. I said the words, woman. I did it. And she's like, no, you got to give me that vitamin D. Give it to the light.
Give it to the light.
Her robe. And I'm like, no. And he's like, I have a wife. I took oaths. I took vows. I made promises. So then she just talks shit on her wife, his wife, you know. Well, she ain't giving you what you need. She ain't even giving you no sons. She's sick, you know. She ain't got what I got. It was like classic, you know.
Yes.
Then she says, I'll give you a son. And he goes, a son? Like, no one had ever heard of a son.
Right,
that's
like
possible.
You can push the sun button.
Yeah, it was
like
so like, what? You could do that? But what he didn't know is she was talking about that smoke baby. Okay?
Yeah.
You're going to learn that later.
Exactly. But, oh, you're going to learn.
Right.
You're going to learn. Smoke baby come up.
So then they have a gross kiss and proceed to have sex on the table and. Yeah.
So grossed out.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, when that happened, though, I had completely forgot that they had not been sleeping with each other already. And I felt like their whole relationship, they were already sleeping with each other. So that was
you
like,
you do know
oh.
that he's sleeping with a 400-year-old woman. Remember what she looks like, right?
Right. I do
These
know
These are
that.
The little moments I like when we do the rewatch. Just thinking about that type of stuff. And also how
forget.
Much she's resistant to the cold. Remember, she's really wearing nothing ever until later.
Then after that, cut back to John, who is out chilling late at night. Is he like...
John was out minding somebody else's business. No, he was minding somebody else's business. Like, you know, getting himself
Not
in trouble.
Not at first, though.
I think so, though. I feel like he was out there, like, looking for... You know what he was doing? He was looking in his girlfriend's phone. He was going to find what he was looking for. So he's out there. Like, you know,
So, your clicks and snacks and snarfles and grumper things and all types of things making noises out there. There's a bunch of there's all types of little sounds. This is also the preliminaries of, we don't know what we want the White Walkers to look like now, so we're going to create a bunch of spooky sounds and show blue eyes, and that's about it. So he sees Krasta doing something. He hides when he sees Krasta walking back without a baby. He did hear a baby cry.
He heard a baby cry, for sure.
He did hear a baby cry. And he followed.
And, you know, you combine that with, you know, his conversation with Gilly and crazy-ass Sam earlier in the day.
Yes. Puts him
where
on
Gilly
edge.
Wouldn't even
puts
tell him,
him
what the hell was going on. So.
You really want me to save your life without you telling me why?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not trying to fuck her. I'm not trying to rape her. Yes, I am trying to fuck her. Sorry. Okay.
No, okay. All right.
Sorry. I was going to go, but I didn't go, Morg. I didn't go, Morg. So John hides. Krasta walks back without a baby, obviously. And John runs back to where he thinks Krasta left his baby out into the cold to die. And, you know, us as viewers, we're just like John. We don't know what's going on. We're still trying to figure out the mystery of what he does with his sons. And we think we're about to find out. John goes and hears more little sounds, and he looks off and he sees a White Walker pick up the baby and start walking away. And before John can do anything or react, he turns around, crashes his right on him, and clocks him upside the head and knocks him the fuck out. Scene. And that's the end of this great episode, The Nightland.
Krasta before he leaves the world. So I get, we're to assume that this is what's going to motivate motivate John to run with Sam's plan. He just can't possibly.
True. Yeah, so, you know, seeing all these things, you know, even though we know he's going to get reprimanded and stuff, but by witnessing what Krasta did, John can't, in his good right mind, just let Gilly suffer that same fate with her child. Ladies, anything to add? Ladies?
Nope.
I have something to add. Mark?
No.
For me, it was that moment where I was talking, but I forgot I was muted, and... I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Nope. I don't have anything to say.
She was like, and for my second point, hello?
Right.
Yes,
well, wait,
you
I do
that
have,
one?
I do have one thing to add about John and his nosy ass.
Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, 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 bam.
I'm looking at a podcast. I'm looking at a no name.
You know what? It wasn't until now. You need what?
He needs a second track. He needs the air horn track, and then he needs to go over and record over top of that to say the other thing.
I did not realize. I didn't get the sample the first time around.
That, you know that song is all
about
some girl dissing
him? I peeped it. Looking at the front door, I peeped the sample this time.
Yeah, that's the whole song is about some girl dissing him, and he pissed off at the girl. I wanted nothing more. I'm looking at the front door. Stand it. All right. So.
That is. I'm gonna let you know right now. That is poor songwriting. That's not how it works. You're just throwing a person's name, and all of a sudden it's about that. Now the game is
over. That didn't work.
What?
Perfectly. I'm looking out the front door, Stannis. Davos in the tower talking to Shireen. I'm telling your father. I'm looking at that front door. You don't even know it. That's the king beyond the wall. You know, rallying his troops. I'm looking at the front door. You know. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. We want to thank all our listeners.
Take us out.
And enjoying this great We Watch. We're having a great time. We hope y'all are too. And we want you to tune in for our next episode, episode 3. We also have a 7 Seconds review coming up, ladies. Right?
So?
Yes, we have that coming soon. And the more
what
delightful
is
things. I personally am watching Jessica Jones. I might do a solo review for that.
Oh, no, we're watching too.
And also,
you got to keep an eye on Castro. You got to keep an eye on
Castro. I see what's happening.
He did a solo review like he was going to get on and record by himself.
I didn't think anybody
knows.
Also, no, wait. Castro, you're a fucking lie. You didn't know anyone else was watching?
I didn't know anybody else was close to
it. Sam.
Yo,
you
gotta keep an eye on
him. Stern as fuck right now. You're trying to go solo on us. I see this shit.
Yeah. He's like, I can do this shit by myself. These motherfuckers are
legit. Like, Jessica Jones is just some fucking throwaway show that none of us are going to watch. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to, you know, I'll probably just do a solo one by myself.
Yeah.
What the shit?
We're like 10 episodes in. Yeah. We're like 10 episodes in.
See, Afro, this is what you don't recognize, and I'm going to bring you home with me, honey. Raise your hand if you have another podcast that might be more popular than this one.
No. Give me a second here. Afro don't even say anything, because I'm going to chop this one dead. I don't know if you guys remember, this may have been the last episode or the one before that, when Castro brings up, what's the show with Jessica, I mean with Ives, with Frankenstein and the vampires, and it was on
Buffy?
Showtime.
Oh, Penny Dreadful.
He brings up Penny Dreadful. And he was like, "Damn, you remember on Penny Dreadful?" As if all four of us weren't doing Penny Dreadful. He referenced just me and him, like it was just us watching Penny Dreadful. I'm like, we were. I clearly remember us being on the call. Everyone was watching Penny Dreadful. You mean, revisionist history you got going on, bro?
We did do Penny Dreadful calls. Sorry.
Yes, we did. We did. Yeah.
Ain't nobody chime in though. What I'm talking about. Oh, my God.
I didn't want to. I was like, oh, okay. Because if had I done it, you'd be like, oh, you're always leaving me in the hallway.
We have Jessica Jones.
But
you're
walking out the door.
We have Westworld coming up. There's something else starting in April. I can't remember.
Are you just going to keep moving? You're not going to apologize for throwing us out of Jessica Jones? You're not going to take it back or nothing?
Wow.
I'm just going to be quiet and take my punishment, take my applesauce and go to my room.
Okay.
Bye.
I'm sorry. I'm being Vanessa in the Cosby Show. Can I take my punishment now? Because I'm tired. All right.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I apologize for leaving everybody out of these other shows that I thought nobody had watched yet.
We're all doing Infinity War too, Castro. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about doing that alone.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about doing Infinity War alone. I think we're all good for that. Yeah.
Wow. Nobody even brought up season 2 of Jessica Jones, and I am being proactive, and I get chastised for it.
It was
good
on the schedule.
The schedule that I didn't get yet that you were supposed to revise? The schedule you were supposed to revise and send out to all of us? Check
it
out
was
email,
on the first
folks.
Schedule.
Good night.
It was on the first schedule. Good night.
It was supposed to be a second schedule. Good night, night, nigga.
Damn.
Hold on. He contemplated. Do I say it or not say it? You hesitated. That was hilarious.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Yo. You're delirious. It's time to go to bed.
Good night.
Love you. Good night.
Bye.
Subscribe, please. Click and comment.